Amen. You may be seated. Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms again. I know we had our Sunday school lesson there, but I've been studying in the Psalm 80. We looked at Psalm 8 in our Sunday school lesson this morning. We'll look at Psalm 80. And no, I'm not, it'll be different, but I don't know. I started seeing things here. I thought, man, I can't get a message, and then I'd come back to it, and I said, man, I can't get a message there. I came back to it, and I ended up preaching, getting a message. So there's just some blessings here. It's 19 verses. The message today is going to be turn us again. And you're going to find that phrase three times in this psalm in a very key verses, and we'll be looking at that in a little bit. But let's just begin by reading the entire 19 verses. Psalms always, the verses are usually fairly short. Won't take as long to get through this. But let's just go ahead and read this at this time. Psalm 80. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold, and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I need your help this morning. Father, I know I'm not worthy, but Lord, I know that Thou art worthy, and it is Christ in me, is Your working through this message, through Your Word, is working among Your people here that have gathered together this morning that can make a difference in the hearts of men and women and children here today. Lord, we've got, you know, a group, many of them I don't know enough personally about them to even know what they're facing individually. Others I do. But Lord, I know that You have something here for each one. Lord, for anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ, help them to know that it is through Him, it is through trusting in Him that they find true peace and find eternal life. But for those who know Him, so often we stray away from You. Lord, we need to repent, but we need You to turn us again. And Father, we pray that You'd work in us in that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I began studying this, and I did it for one of my Bible studies, I got to looking at this psalm, and I realized after a little while that it had a very special design. You'll find that so often in Scripture, that God does things. You'll find three verses that are almost identical. They're not exact, but they're almost. It's verses 3, 7, and 19. You know, even there you find God using His own numerology a little bit. Verse 3 says, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And so in verse 3, He kind of hits on this theme. Well, 3, of course, is the number of God's holy perfection. He is a Trinity. He made man after His image and in His likeness, as a Trinity, body, soul, and spirit. And we find here that he does things in three so often. After he's through with it, it's got a design of three in it. But when he's doing the work, he works in sevens. The 7 days of creation, the seven, so many things, seven colors of the rainbow. I mean, you can go on and on how God works in creation. And so in verse 7, he again says this almost identical verse. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. The only thing is he changes O God to O God of hosts. Of course, the God of hosts is the God of armies, the God of forces, the God of all power. And here he says it's not just God, but he's the God of all power that we're seeking here. And then in verse 19, and at first I looked and I said, man, I can't do anything with the number 19, Lord. You know, I don't know. I've never been able to figure out anything with that number. And I said, how does this fit in? And then I realized when you look at verse 8, he starts a picture about someone. And he says, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. You know what that vine is. That vine was Israel that he had brought out, that he brought out of Egypt. And so we find that he especially deals with that vine, which is Israel, beginning in verse 8 down through verse 19. Well, if you take 19 and you subtract the first 7 verses, you have 12 verses in that last section. And 12 is the number of Israel, because there were 12 tribes of Israel. You find here he uses that 12. Now, I'm only giving you that just to show you that, you know, look at Scripture. You never know what God's doing. There's always a design there. There's always something there. But yet, I'm not going to deal with Israel as much this morning, because God writes this so that we can have something out of it, so it can deal with our hearts. And just as God dealt with the people of Israel as His people in the Old Testament, and He's going to deal with them in the future, they are indeed His earthly people today. Yet, we're His people as well today. And because of that, we find some things here to help us and to encourage us. And He says here, turn us again. And just as Israel could come to the Lord and say, turn us again, O God. Do something in our lives. Do something in where we are right now so we can come to God today in the same way. It was interesting. I got around Jeff Fagert, and he does this Bible history tour and Baptist History Preservation Society and all this. And oh, what a blessing. In fact, we're planning on having him here in June, and he's going to, on Saturday of June the 18th, he's going to do a East Tennessee Baptist History Tour. We're going to rent a bus here, and for the day, we're going to offer to take people around to the sites around here that show you the heritage, the Baptist heritage, here in this area. And I'm excited about that. I think it's going to be a wonderful time that we're just going to open this up for anybody who wants to go on this and just have a time that we can go out and see what God has done in this area over the last 200 plus years. But you know, you find here, as I've studied and I've been around him and done some reading, I find out that lots of times these men we talk about who had the great time of revival, maybe some period in their ministry that God just opened up and blessed in so many ways, you get to study in their lives and you find out that those revivals were punctuations on a long, steady life of just kind of same old every day, keeping on serving God, keeping on going on. And at some point, God says, you've been faithful enough, I'm going to pour out some blessings on you. And that is of God, and it is how He does it and everything else. And you find here that God uses this. It's dull times followed by divine stirring. But you find also that you have to have those divine stirrings. The life of a ministry, the life of whether a movement or a church or even an individual Christian will die without those stirrings. I think we see that today in the country of England. I mean, what happened is you study their history, and through the 1500s and the 1600s and the 1700s and even into the early 1800s, you'll see that they would go into a dead state and then they'd stir up again for God. And then they'd go into a dead state and they'd stir up again for God. And they'd go into a dead state and they'd stir up again for God. Their last stirring was probably with Charles H. Spurgeon in the late 1800s. And you'll find that as soon as he was dead, the movement was dead because he was carrying all the weight of it on him, evidently. And it did not continue. And they have not had. There's been some little stirrings that real early 1900, some other places, we're talking 1902, 1904, right in there. But basically, since in the last 100 years, they have not had any real stirring of God, and it is dead over there, folks. This lady that wrote, that visited with us Sunday night, and she was here because of our website, and she was over in America, and she wanted to visit with us. She was so excited. She wrote about that, and she said, I didn't bring that letter, but she was so excited. She says, please pray for us in England. Said, it is so hard. She said, they're getting ready to try to pass a law to where you can't even go and witness to people anymore. And she said, please pray for our country. But I want you to know, all we are today is a few years behind where they are there. We're only a few years behind that, and this is not a negative message. This is a message that says God is still God, and God will still work, and God will still do His thing if we will trust in Him and look to Him and let Him do it. But we must come to Him, and we must say, turn us again. You know what? In your individual life. By the way, let me just say in churches. I found it a long time ago that a church that is not growing is dying because you have to reach people in order to stay the same size. You have people die. You have people move away. Listen, if you just hold on to who you've got, you're dying. Christian, you need to understand, if there's never a stirring in your heart, if there's never something going on to where God stirs you up again and God gets a hold of you again and God reaches out to you again, you're dying in your spiritual life. Yes, you know Jesus Christ and He's been in your heart, and if you're in Him, you'll go to heaven, but you're dead in the things of God as far as any spiritual power and any closeness to God. You have to have a reviving of your spirit from time to time. You have to have a time where you say, Lord, turn us again. Lord, stir in my heart again. Lord, I need You to help me and bring me back to You and work in my life again right now. You've got to have that, folks. You know what we see? What's happening in Psalm 80? I want to look at it in 4 sections here this morning. And I want you to see some things. We're not going to look at it straight through. We're going to look at it really chronologically here. You see, first of all, they had past blessings. See, the thing is, if you don't have past blessings, if there wasn't a time God brought you out of Egypt and planted your feet, then you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior to start with. He says in verse 8, Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. There in one verse, He talks about the deliverance from evil, from Egypt. It is from evil in a sense, but from Egypt, you can see them crossing over the Red Sea on dry land with the Red Sea piled up on either side of them and coming in and destroying the Egyptians behind them. You see them being delivered and the Egyptians saying to them, please go here, take my rings, take my jewelry, just get out of here. You can see that God delivered them. They had prayed and they had looked and they had cried out to God, and God says, I'm going to pull you out of Egypt. And He did. In that same verse, He says, you cast out the heathen. Not only did He call them out of Egypt, but He cast out the heathen. And it's interesting, as you look at the next verse, He says, thou preparest room before it. You know what He did? He made room for them. He didn't have to wait until there was an empty spot on earth and said, okay, we'll send you there. He put them where He wanted them. And He says, I'll cast out those that are in there in the way, because that's your land. You know what? We see this. You realize, I'll tell you something. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can look back and you can say, Lord, there was that time that You brought me out of Egypt, that You took me out of the miry clay and You set my feet upon a rock. There was a time when I didn't know Jesus Christ and I was on my way to hell and I felt the weight of the sins upon me and I knew something had to happen. I knew I needed a Savior. I knew if I didn't trust in Him, I'd be burning in the flames of hell. And I came to You, said, Lord, my sins are many, but I tell you what, Lord, I want to trust in You, and I want You to cleanse me, and I want You to be my Savior. You may have not said those words, but that was in your heart, and you came to God, and He gave you eternal life. What a blessing to know that He does that. He still saves souls, folks. He still saves souls, but you know what? He did other things. He didn't stop with your salvation, did He? He made room for you. He may have had to cast out some heathen to do it, you know. He may have had to, but you saw God working in your life. You saw some things go on, and you looked around for a while, and you were waiting to see Him, but you never saw Him. You just knew there was something going on in your life. You said, man, God has been here. God has worked. And as a result of that planting, there was prosperity. Verses 10 and 11, he says, the hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. He's saying there was a spreading out, and there was a prospering, and there was a blessing. And I will tell you what, it is a blessing to serve God. I don't care what anybody says. You may go through some trials that you would not have to face by serving God, but you'll receive twice, thrice the number of blessings and even more than you could have ever had serving the devil. You will be blessed, and someday you'll look around and you'll say, well, maybe I don't have that house I could have had. Maybe I don't have the income I could have had. But what I have and what God has given me and the blessings He's given me and my friends and my family and the joy of Him in my heart and His peace calming my soul and all those things are worth exceedingly far more than all that I could have ever had from this world. You see that and you see the past blessings, and I want you to think there were times in your life where, oh, what a blessing it was to serve God. Oh, how much you wanted just to do right with Him today. You do something a little bit wrong, you say, Lord, was that okay? Lord, if it's not okay, I'll quit it right now, Lord. You don't want me to do it? Okay, it's gone, Lord. But that was your heart. You wanted so much, and God blessed you, and God worked in your life. But you know what happens most of the time? After a while, you start owning those blessings. You start saying, yeah, I'm a little better than everybody else. That's why God's so good to me. I got it all taken care of. Man, I tell you what, I must be doing right. Look what God has done for me. Poor you, I'll pray for you. Maybe you'll get things right and be as good as I am one of these days. You say, oh, we never say that. No, but you do in your heart. You do in your heart. You lift it up with that pride. And I will tell you what, the human factor is so powerful and so strong in each one of us. Every time you get your eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ, yourself starts popping up. You start having to deal with that pride and that self and that ego and who you are. I comes in. And I is in the heart of sin, and I is in the heart of pride. Check out the lettering. P-R-I-D-E-S-I-N. I'm there. And you look at that, and pretty soon you get away from the Lord, and so you go from past blessings and to recent woes. That's where Israel is right now in this psalm. Things haven't been going so well. All of a sudden, the water got cut off. You ever gone through that time where the water got cut off on you? I mean, you'd been blessed and things were so good and you start saying, man, this is forever, and you just start figuring out you deserved it all and it was good. I mean, you weren't even necessarily in rebellion against God. You just started claiming it as your own. I mean, you thought it was owed to you now. And God says, oh, see, well, you feel this way. Turned off the blessings. That's what happened to Israel. Now, they've been disobedient. Sometimes it is because you're disobedient. Sometimes it's just God checking you out. You see, Job had it turn off, and he wasn't even disobedient. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord take away. Blessed be in the name of the Lord. Sometimes the blessings are cut off because we are disobedient. I think that's the case in Israel here. It's the case most of the time through the Bible. But you'll find that those things, all of a sudden, everything starts going, well, what happens? Well, look at the recent woes. First of all, the blessings dried up. First of all, there's the upward blessing. Now, you know what God counts as most important? Verses 4, 5, and 6 talk about the blessings being cut off. Verse 4 says, O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Do you realize the greatest blessings you have as a believer are the blessings you receive from heaven? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of heights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow turning. It is from God Himself, where the Father of lights, not heights, but the Father, He's all. But it is from Him that we receive those blessings. And I'll tell you what, there's the first thing you'll find turned off when you start getting away from God is you start not being able to reach out to God. That closeness to God isn't there like it used to be. The blessings coming from heaven aren't coming the way they used to. Your prayers meet up with that iron ceiling and they just bounce back off. And you say, Lord, where are You? And in all of it, God's basically saying, well, where are You? But you're wondering where God is. And so as the blessings start going off, the first thing is you find out the prayers don't seem to go far anymore. And then you're going to find out inwardly you start having troubles. Verse 5 says, Thou feedest them with the bread of tears and givest them tears to drink in great measure. I'm wanting you to listen to this because some of you are in some of these places in your life. You need to know what's going on. God's telling you for instruction to help you. And you find as those blessings are being cut off, that first of all, you're not having a close relationship with God anymore. Second thing, you're going to find out your heart is troubled and disturbed and everything's kind of the mire's coming up off the ground, off the bottom there and everything's getting mixed up and you're eating the bread of tears and you don't have any peace in your heart anymore. And everything's just kind of going wrong, but nobody really knows yet. It's inside of you. And everything on the inside of you is just kind of all bent out of shape. Why? Because you've gotten away from the Lord somehow, probably. And all of a sudden, it's just not right inside. And you know what? It goes from upward to inward to outward. And in verse 6, he says, Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Now everything out there starts going wrong. And you don't have hold of God, so you can't get anything right there. You don't have peace in your heart, so you can't handle it anymore. And boy, you're just in a fix, man. You don't know which way to go. And everything's falling apart and everything's going the wrong way. Have you ever had this happen to you? I have. Maybe it's never happened to any of you. But I have. I've had those times that it just seemed like all the blessings were cut off. But now the protections get broken down. And that's connected with that third point there. But look at verses 12 and 13. He's talking about that vine again, that vineyard. And around a vineyard you would put up hedges to keep out the little animals or keep out the, in this case it says a boar, so that's a pig. So I mean, keep out the animals. You would put up a hedge around that thing. And it says in verse 12, Why hast thou then broken down her hedges? So that all they which pass by the way do pluck her, the boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Says, Lord, we used to have hedges built up about us. You don't notice this when you're in the middle of it. You start thinking it's just your dessert, what you deserve. But look back on your life. Can you see where God has had hedges about you at different times? Sometimes He's protected you from sin that messed up your life and your family. Sometimes He's protected you from an external enemy that would have destroyed you. Sometimes He's watched over you in times. And sometimes it's a strange thing, but unfortunately, we only notice this when somebody about hits us with a car and mashes us up and destroys us. And we say, oh, God must have been watching over me today. Well, He's watching over you yesterday too. And He's watching over you when you didn't notice those types of things. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God has a hedge about His people. Satan complained about it. About Job. He complained to the Lord, said, you got a hedge about him. I can't touch him. Man, praise God for His hedges. You think you're having a rough time now. What happens if God takes all the hedges down? Right. Yeah. You know, some of you playing with living your life your way, you know what you're doing? It's first of all, you're cutting off the blessings. But as those blessings start getting cut all the way off, God starts knocking down the hedges He had about you. Right. Now what's going to start happening in your life? Man, some really tough times are coming. You say, well, if God loved me, don't start that junk about this world's idea of a God of love. A God of love loves you and deals with you and chastens you and draws you back to Himself, sometimes with some hard scourging because He loves you.
Right.
And a God who does not chasten, who does not scourge His children, is not a God of love.
Right.
He loves you and He works in you and those hedges start going down. And if you ever had the time where the hedges start, things start happening. You say, wait a minute, I'm going, listen, let me say this. Sometimes things happen because you're just doing the right thing. And the devil tried to pick a battle, decided to pick a battle with you. You have to get, ask God for religious discernment to decide whether what I'm telling you is where you are or not. I don't want some of you who are serving God and living for God, who have had some bad things happen recently, think all of a sudden this is what's happening to you. That's not necessarily the case. Sometimes it just means you've stepped up into the battle. You've been enjoying life back at the tent for a while. You've been at the camp wagon, you know. You've been at the lunch wagon, and you've been saying, "Oh, those guys up there in battle, they're sure having a rough time." God gets a hold of your heart, and He says, "You go to the front line." You know, you don't get many bullets fired at you back at the lunch wagon, but you get on the front line, you're going to have bullets flying. And so some of you may have just walked up to where the bullets are flying, and you've got to be able to discern which it is. Okay? But some of you may just have the hedges being knocked down. Well, they can get in there now. And get in there now. Pretty soon, some wild boar, some wild beast comes in and starts giving you a rough time. You say, "Where did this come from?" It came from when you turned away from the Lord. You find also, verses 16 and 17, it can go so far that their prosperity is absolutely destroyed. It says verse 15, "In the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance." It's burned with fire and cut down. You look at the history of Israel, that's what happened to them. It was burned with fire. Jerusalem was burned with fire. They were cut down. The line of the kings of Judah were cut off. And yet here you find here that he says you go through. Now you're looking now, you say, "Okay, I think maybe I'm going through this." By the way, let me say this, believer. If you're not going through it now, you probably have gone through it. And even if you have gone through it, at some point in the future, you'll probably go through something again. You say, "No, I'm going to get this place where I never have any problem serving God." I am too. But I'm not going to be here when I get there. You know, neither are you. I'm going to be with the Lord then. In the flesh, you're going to have trouble. And you're going to have battles. And as soon as you get your eyes off the Lord, you're going to start sinking sometimes. You come to this thing, we saw their past blessings, we saw their recent woes. Now they understand their present need. And what you have to do is just as they did then, you have to begin to understand your present need. What do you need right now? Well, first of all, you need God Himself, verses 1 and 2. You need the Lord. You say, "Oh, anybody can say that." Yeah, but it's always the right answer. It's always the right answer. You need the Lord. Now look at how you need Him in verses 1 and 2. He says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock." First of all, you need Him as the shepherd. You need Him as the shepherd. The psalmist in Psalm 23 said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water." You need God as your shepherd. Now here is the shepherd of Israel, but we know He's our shepherd too. Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. And we look at Him and we need our shepherd. We need the one who watches over us. How does a shepherd help us? Look at Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11 says this, "He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." You remember those days when you knew God was watching out for you. You knew that if you had a need, you could take it to Him and God would take care of it somehow. You knew that if you needed direction, that God would show you the way you ought to go. But now you've gotten away from God. Now the blessings have been cut off. Your prayers don't go up and you need to cry to God and say, "Lord, I need my shepherd back. I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. Lord, I've gotten to the point where I cannot handle this anymore. I want my shepherd. I want the one who guides me, the one who leads me, the one who feeds me when I'm hungry, the one who cares for me, the one who picks me up when I can't go another step and carries me in His bosom." You have to get to the point and say, "Lord, I need my shepherd again." But He says, not only do I need my shepherd, I need the light to be turned on again. The last part of verse 1 of Psalm 80 says, "Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth." There's so much meaning in that. I can't begin to touch on all of it. that you would have back in that tabernacle and then later in that temple. You would have the cherubim back there on either side of the mercy seat, on either side of the Ark of the Covenant. And the picture was that God's dwelling place was between the cherubim. It's a picture of God in heaven as well. I mean, it just reverberates. It's like taking a pebble and dropping it into a still pond and seeing ring after ring after ring after ring after ring come out. You know, sometimes you'll hear somebody preach, and I'm talking good preaching now or good teaching. They'll preach and teach on a passage, and they'll look at one part of that ring. Somebody else looks, but I'll tell you what, all of it's there. You see those cherubim, and you see there, God said to Moses, He said, that's where I'll meet with you, and I'll talk to you from between the cherubim. And you find that Hezekiah one time prayed, and he says, oh, thou that dwellest between the cherubims. They saw those cherubims as the dwelling place of God, and he says, God, shine forth from between the cherubims. Shine forth in my life. It's so much. Actually, Brother Drew Ray got on that a little bit the other night in his message. But in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. That's when the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in His wings. That is the kingdom age. But you know what? There is a sense in which spiritually we have to have Jesus Christ. We have to have God arise and shine forth for us. Lord, where are you? It's dark. Lord, I don't see light anymore. Lord, I'm stumbling around in this world. I don't know where to go. Where are you, Lord? Would you shine forth? You see the picture there? Lord, just shine. Oh, there. Okay, Lord, there you are. That's what I want. Lord, shine forth. Have you ever been in such a dark time in your life when everything was overcast and everything was deep and everything was messed up? You didn't know which way to go, and you were in full of confusion, and you were full of unsureness, and you didn't know which way to go, and you needed God just to shine forth, Lord. Let me know where you are. I need you as my shepherd. I need you to shine forth. And in verse 2, I need your strength. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. I need you to do something that I can't do, Lord. You ever have a need? I mean, it was a good need. God, to reach somebody. God, to touch somebody in your family. So God, to do something in your family or your life. Lord, I can't do it. And you try. And you fail. And you try. And you fail. And you try. And you fail. And then you give up. But then one day, you get to thinking or studying, or somebody preaches a message, and you say, you know what? I really haven't just sought God to do something. You know what grace is? Grace can be defined a lot of ways. Do you know what grace for daily living is? God doing that which we cannot do ourselves. It's the sufficiency of God. It is the doing of God. I know grace is God doing good things for us that we do not deserve. But you look and you study grace working in the life of a believer. When the believer is to continue walking and letting the grace of God work in him. And what it is God doing that which he cannot do. It is the sufficiency of God. The Bible says, who is sufficient unto these things? But then later in 2 Corinthians it says, but our sufficiency is of God. It's not who we are. You know what? You're trying to figure out what you can do. I'm always trying to figure out what I can do. And sometimes I'm trying to figure out what you guys can do. I'm trying to figure out what you all can handle and what I can handle. And I'm saying, Lord, there's some good things, but what can we do? And then I realize sometimes God has to bring me back and say, who you trust in? You trust in yourself? You trust in the people of Antioch Baptist Church? Are you trusting God Almighty? And God can do what we cannot do. And He says, Lord, stir up your strength. Come and save us. By the way, save here means it's the idea of deliverance. Our salvation is deliverance from hell, but there's all sorts of salvation in Scripture. And he says, deliver us, save us. Lord, we need you to stir up your strength. Come and do something. And the first thing you got to realize, when you realize you're going that way and the blessings have been cut off and the hedges are being broken down and you're heading for destruction, you say, Lord, I need you. If you need Him, you'll find that you also need Him to turn you again. In verses 3, 7, and 9, they all start with the phrase, turn us again. Verse 3 says, O God, and cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Notice that this is not our turning on our own strength. You need to turn. You know what that is? That's repentance. You know, you turn from going the wrong way to doing the right way. And that's repentance, folks. And you know, that's important. That's something we need to do when we come to God. That's something we need to do when we get away from God as a believer and come back to Him. But He's not specifically talking about that here. I think He's already repenting. He's already admitting that I have problems. But He says here, turn us again. This is God turning us around. This is God turning us. Now, I want to show you a couple of things. Look at Lamentations chapter 5. Lamentations chapter 5. Right after Jeremiah. Verse 21, next to the last verse there in Lamentations. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as of old. Turn us, thou us, unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be turned. You want to get turned? Let God turn you. Now, again, don't confuse this with plans of salvation. First of all, these are already God's people in Psalm 80. He's not talking about a plan of salvation. He's talking about how to get back on track with God. Yeah, let me ask you this. You ever try to get on track with God in your own strength and find that it's pretty pitiful? It's pretty pitiful. I'm going to do right. Yeah, all right. I believe you. How many of you are still keeping your New Year's resolution? No, don't raise your hand. Yeah, you're going to turn. You know what? He comes to God and says, God, we need you. We need your strength. We need you as a shepherd. We need you to shine forth. We need you to stir up your strength. And Lord, we need you to turn us again. Get us going. Help us go on the right. We want it. We desire it. We need your help. Listen, you can do nothing in the flesh. Jesus said that the flesh is willing. I mean, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. For I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. That is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He says, for the will to perform it is there, but how to do it? I don't know how to do it. You have a desire to serve God. That is your will. So we still have that will to turn to God. God's still looking for the will. Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I want you to help me. I want to serve you. But you have to understand that even when you're willing, you don't have the strength to do everything right. God has to still come and turn you again. It says, turn us again. If God turns us, we shall be turned. It's akin to revival because look at Psalm 85. Psalm 85, we're going to read the first 6 verses. See, I want you to be crying out to God today. Turn me again, Lord. I want us as a church to cry out to God and say, Lord, turn us again. Get us turned back to the power of God in our lives. Psalm 85, beginning in verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob, evidently a different period of time, but notice the rest. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from the fierceness of Thine anger. And He says, you've done all this already, but He says, turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease. He says, we need you to turn us too, Lord. You've already turned back, but we need you to turn us. Wilt Thou be angry with us forever? Wilt Thou draw out Thine anger to all generations? Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? You see, the turning, God turning us, is connected to revival. He said, turn us in verse 4, and in verse 6 He says, wilt thou not revive us again? The idea of turning us is God reviving us and stirring us up. You know what? That's important. You know what? God sometimes just turns. Sometimes it's amazing. Look at 1 Kings. I will show you something, a story you're very, very familiar with, and show you something that I have not seen until I started looking up the word turn. And I'm going to see if you noticed it too. Not that I'm not going to ask for a raising of the hands. I just want you to see something. 1 Kings chapter 18. I don't think I told you that. 1 Kings 18 is the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. It's one of our most familiar stories. What preacher hasn't had fun of Elijah making fun of the false prophets? I mean, we enjoy that story. It's a good story. It exalts God. And we've talked about the shortness of the prayer that Elijah prayed there. But notice what he says in his prayer. 1 Kings 18, let's read verses 36 and 37. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Isaac and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Yeah. Do you realize what the people say in just a little bit? Verse 39, and they said, the Lord, He is the God, the Lord, He is the God. Elijah prayed, he says, Lord, I want these people to know that You're God. They sought Him. Psalm 80, verses 1 and 2. And that Thou hast turned their heart back again. And within 3-4 verses, they're crying out, after they've been serving Baal, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Yeah. Do you realize what we need? Is we need God to turn us again. You look at this, God uses many things. I'm going to go to one more verse here. I'm finding where to cut this off now. But Jeremiah 31, two verses together here. But Jeremiah 31, verses 18 and 19, tell about that turning a little bit. And this could preach a whole message here. I'm just going to read these verses and show you what's there. Jeremiah 31, verses 18 and 19. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised. It's kind of like when God turns you, you're turned. When God chastises you, you're chastised. Okay? As a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. Notice this turning always comes in a recognition of who God is again in your life. You have to get back to who He is. Verse 19, surely after that I was turned, I repented. Now, that's an interesting phrase there, but he says, I repented after I was turned. God started dealing with me and I repented. And after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. I believe God works in different ways at different times, but you find here that there is a turning. It's connected with chastisement here. It's connected with repentance, instruction, and even shame over past sins. There is a turning. There is a reviving of the Spirit. There is a turning back to God. And yes, the will is there. Yes, the willingness is there of the believer. But there's also something God and God alone can do. You know what the psalmist did in Psalm 80? He says, God, You're our shepherd. You know what? He was going through trials and going through afflictions, and the people were suffering, and that suffering brought him to a point where he was ready to cry out to God. God may be doing some things in your life that seem like He's not being very nice to you right now. And let's face it, we go through trials in this life. But you know what? They may be the very things that He's saying, I've got something better for you. And it may be just at that point you say, I need a shepherd. I need God to shine. I it's dark. I can't see. Where are You, Lord? I don't know where You are in my life right now. But we shine forth. It may be that you need Him to stir up His strength. But I want to tell you something. If you look for God and if you'll trust in Him, if you'll reach out to Him, God never leaves anybody reaching forever. He says, if you'll seek me, you'll find me. You know? You start looking for Him in your life and He says, I'll be there and I'll help you and I'll work in your life. But you have to come to this point where you say, turn us again, O Lord. Turn us again, O God of hosts. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause Thy face to shine and we shall be saved. You're here this morning. Is God working in you? Have you gone through? Where are you in this cycle? God delivers you. He blesses you. Pulls you out of Egypt. He gives you room in the land and He prospers you. You get proud. Where are you in this? You get lifted up. You go through and all of a sudden, hey, it seems like the blessing starts stopping. Your prayers aren't doing what they used to be. Inside your heart, you're troubled. Outside, there's all sorts of problems. It seems like the hedges are being broken down and you don't know which way to go and you can't even see God anymore and don't get your prayer. You say, what's going on? Where are you? If you're over here, you know what you need to be doing? Say, Lord, I need You to turn me again.
Amen.
I want You to turn me again. I want to know You as my shepherd, the one who leads and feeds and guides and holds on to me when I'm hurting. Lord, I need You to be my strength. I need You to be my shining light. Lord, I just need You again. Would You turn me again? And if you're there this morning, oh, I pray that you'd come to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, this morning, right now, would You just turn us again back to You? Let's stand. Lord, You have to use this message. I can't do anything with it. Lord, if You're going to touch people's hearts, You need to touch their hearts right now. I think there's some people who just need to come to You and say, Lord, turn me again. Turn my family back again. Turn my church back again. Lord, just give me that stirring of Your heart again in my life and heart. Lord, I can't do anything. You have to do it. You need to draw the people and work in their hearts and their lives. I don't know where they are. You do. Pray that Your people would be obedient. If there's anyone here that doesn't know You as Savior, I pray that they would seek You as well. That's where they start, is with the Savior, Jesus Christ. Let them come and speak to me so I can we can show them, have somebody show them from the Word how they can be saved before they walk out of here today. Lord, turn us again for Your sake. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Barbara, if you'll just play. Just the music this morning. Some are